Hi folks, Joe Stagner from Microsoft with video number 2 in this Web Matrix series. We're almost ready to start building an application, but first I want to take a quick review of the syntactical constructs that are available inside the Razor syntax in ASP.NET Web Pages. So to do that, I'm going to open up an existing web project. So just say right click and open website as Microsoft Web Matrix. And we're not going to go through all of the details in this code. I'll make the whole project available for download so you can look at all the various features if you like. We're just going to look at one file that has some code examples. So let's run this page and see what it looks like. And now we'll go back into Web Matrix and we'll iterate down through these. So the first thing I want to note here is that the at sign is your key to code mode. So you can see here, for example, at the top of the page, this is a very common construct. I have an at sign, an open bracket, and then some code, and then a closing bracket. All right, so this is a multi-line code block, and here we're setting the layout and setting the page title. We can also put statements on a single line, right? So we use something that looks like this syntactically. And then I can embed code in HTML markup as I've done here. So I'm saying inside this paragraph, I have some static text, the value of your account is, and then I want to output the value that's stored in the variable total. So I just say at total, and it will convert that to a string since it's originated as a type integer, and it will output it on the page. Right. As I mentioned, you can store text in a multi-statement block like this, and then still output it the same way. So you can have code either on one line or you can have code across multiple lines, and that makes it easy when you're going to if you're going to implement a method, for example, you might have a code block with a whole bunch of code in it. Next, string literals. So note here, string literals are inside double quotes. I can embed a backslash in a string. And if I need to put quotes inside a string, I'll just use a double quote inside that string. Right? So notice the string starts here with a quote, ends here with a quote, but I actually want this, what the person said, to be quoted, and so I can do that by double quotes. If we look at the page, here you can see the quotes appear and the backslashes appear. Right, so if you've done any sort of programming before in any C-like syntax, whether it's C, C++, C Sharp, Java, PHP, you're probably familiar with most of this syntax other than the at sign code block. One thing to note is that syntax in Razor inside ASP.NET Web Pages is case sensitive. So last name as a variable name that starts with a lowercase l is different than last name that starts with an uppercase L, right? So a thing to keep in mind, right? So ASP.NET considers this name and this name completely different variables. So as a debugging tip, if you're trying to use a variable and you're getting an error message that says that variable name is not known, but you're sure that you declared that variable, go back and make sure that you look at the casing of both your declaration and your access of that variable. Now, another thing to note is that since ASP.NET Web Pages and Web Matrix are built on top of the full ASP.NET infrastructure, and .NET is innately object-oriented, you're going to be accessing objects all over the place inside your web page's code. So for example, here I'm accessing the request object and the URL element, file path element, the map path method for the request object, and again, if we go look at the running code, we can see that these aren't things that are in our code. We have these only by virtue of the fact that the runtime, the ASP.NET infrastructure, provides this request object fully populated, and we're able to retrieve the values through that object dereferencing. Right. So you don't have to become an object-oriented guru to write web sites using WebMatrix, but you can use objects. You can create your own or use the intrinsic ones that are available in .NET as your programming requirements dictate. Now, another thing to note here is notice that I have a submit button here. If we look at the code quickly, I've just embedded a little form here. And we have a submit button. It's going to submit back to our code.cshtml page, the one that we're viewing. Then up here I have a code block, a multi-line code block with some logic that says if is post. So there are two things to note here. One is we're making a decision, and there are a variety of decision and branching mechanisms that are available in this C# code in WebMatrix, as you'd expect. And then there's this variable isPost, which determines whether or not our page is being requested for the first time or it's a postback request. So notice that if isPost equal true, we're told that this page was posted using the submit button. Otherwise, it's a first request. So you'll notice here it says it's a first request, but if I click on the submit button, now it will tell us that this page is posted using the submit button. So we can handle postbacks quite simply. Another thing to note here is, as I mentioned, there are logic control flow constructs, because basically this is C# code, but there's an interesting thing to note here. So not only do we have a for loop, so we just say at for, begin code, end code, and then we've wrapped this whole block of code in a list. But down here, I can very gracefully go back and forth in between line items and outputting a value. So the parser is really clever about whether it's looking at markup or whether it's looking at code values. Now, the written tutorial has a lot of details about how the syntax works, but just a couple of things to note. One is that by default, when we're accessing accessing variables and we're outputting, HTML encoding is done. So, for example, if I were to put HTML markup in this string, it wouldn't be emitted as markup. It would be emitted as literal text. And if I wanted to actually output the HTML, I would have to use an HTML string instead. You'll also want to note that we have access to the get and the post properties easily from inside the request object. Right? So whether something is a get or a post, that's going to be useful to us as we continue our programming and we get a little bit more advanced with the sort of work that we're doing. But I just wanted to point out that the request object has that sort of information. So one of the things that's interesting about programming in WebMatrix and this page-centric model is that all of the plumbing of the web is not abstracted and it's available. We don't have to know about it if we don't need to use it. But if we want to start getting more down into the technical details, for example, if we want to do REST-based programming and make response decisions based on the HTTP verb, all of that's available for us to do inside the ASP.NET WebMatrix pages. So that's a quick look at some of the syntax. Obviously, throughout the course of these videos, as well as your work in ASP.NET and WebMatrix, you'll learn a lot more about working with the syntax. But this gives you a basic flavor of how you embed code, how you switch between markup and code, how you make decisions, how you do control flow, so things like the for loop. And that's enough to get us started so that we can start actually building an application. And we'll do that in the next video in this series. Thank you.